Welcome to Rally Point. This is a show designed to encourage and equip men. We'll be discussing a number of challenging subjects specifically chosen to help men grow stronger and lead better. The premise is this. I believe many of the issues that we face today can be tracked back to the failure of men to navigate life in a healthy biblical way. We're going to take a deep dive into topics closest to a man's heart: faith, family, fitness, personal development, and more. Join us each Wednesday right here. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rally Point Podcast. So grateful to have you listening and really excited for today's topic. But before we dive in too much, I would love to ask a favor from you guys right there where you're looking at your phone on probably the iTunes podcast app or whatever channel that you're looking at. If you would hit subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, that would be a big deal in terms of getting this content out to the public. You don't even need to leave a written review. If you just tap the stars, that's super utterly helpful. It makes it so much easier for people to be able to find this content, to find the podcast, and for it to impact other people's lives. So if you would just scroll up, tap the stars, that would be incredible, and we would love you for it. So let's get into everything. So we're going to be digging into the nuts and bolts of the ketogenic diet, or also known as the keto diet. I get asked on probably a weekly basis by individuals both in and outside of the church what I think of this thing called the keto diet. What is it? Do I like it? Does it work? How do you do it? These are all great questions. So let's start at square one. What is this infamous keto diet? And kind of what is this thing that has really become a buzzword in the last few years? So, as a nutritionist, keto can actually have a lot of complexity to it. So I'm going to do my best to make this digestible in a mental way for everyday non-nutrition experts, right? The ketogenic diet, oversimplified, is really a nutritional approach that puts our body into a prime state to utilize fat for fuel instead of sugars. There are really only two metabolic or energy pathways in our body, and that is that we can either use carbohydrates for our fuel, or we can use ketones, or a fuel source derived from fat. So there's a really rich history behind this diet, and it's not very well known. The nature and the origin of the paleo diet, which is essentially eating like our Paleolithic ancestors, a Christian theology discussion for another day. The nature of that diet is to eat foods available at the time of which the Paleolithic people or that era occurred. That would have been like wild vegetables, animal proteins like meat, fish, wild poultry, eggs, nuts, seeds. This was basically a ketogenic diet for most of their daily experience because there wasn't a ton of like fruits to be had, right? Like they were hunters and gatherers, hypothetically, in this particular form. And so fruit was not super common. There were no grains. There was no farming. There was no dairy, right? These are all important things to be considering. So the keto diet actually began to get studied, mid to late mid-century for epilepsy patients, as they found it to have some pretty incredible benefits to things like preventing seizures in those patients. And it's still used today for that purpose, right? Even with children that are patients for epilepsy and seizures, it's massively helpful in that area. And that's proven. That's an application of the ketogenic diet that is widely respected and well known. So it's kind of become this buzz and this thing. And so the idea is, really, once your body has used up the carbohydrate stores that are found in the liver and in the muscle, because when you eat carbohydrates, you don't just use them all, right? If you don't have any in your body, you'll store them in something called glycogen, as something called glycogen inside the muscle and inside the liver, so your body can use it later. Due to our really high carbohydrate diets, those stores usually get topped off and are always topped off. So the carbohydrates that we're eating are typically being stored as fat and or used for a small amount of energy. So once you've used up all the carbohydrates in your bloodstream, in the muscle, in the liver, then our body will start to kick into gear this process to start making what's called ketones. And ketones can be used in place of carbs for this energy and for brain function and all the things that it's necessary for. So really the next question that we want to look at is, do I like it? That's what people ask me. Hey, do you like the keto diet? Like, what are your thoughts? Keto diet? Like, so simply put, yes, I like it most of the time. And I'll kind of explain what I mean by that. But I think a better way to answer that question is to kind of address the other questions that I often get, which are like, how does it work? And how do you actually do it? Because I think those, and you'll find out what I mean by this, the answers to those questions help identify why I like the keto diet most of the time, right? And I'll explain. Bear with me here. So, big question, does it work? Yes. It works amazingly well. There's some incredible benefits of the keto diet. Behind almost every chronic disease out there, you know, we're talking diabetes, heart disease, obesity, you know, major digestive issues, even down to like eczema, things like that. Like behind all of those different diseases are actually chronic inflammation. And so factors like being sedentary in your lifestyle, stress, exposure to toxins, tobacco smoke, like all those things cause inflammatory issues. Diet is probably the single most important impact on inflammation today. Sugar being probably one of the top culprits within the diet category. Excess sugar causes really this production of high amounts of insulin to try to handle the blood sugar, to get the sugar out of the blood. The insulin is that carrier that moves it out, right, and gets it to a place where it can be stored, which causes a rise in inflammation, causes a bunch of free radical damage. You know, that's another buzzword we can talk about another day. Everyone knows about free radical damage. It's like, you know, watch out for that. But so the benefits are really pretty extensive as you mostly remove sugar from the equation of your daily intake, right? And the things that you would expect to experience from keto would be like better focus, cognition, clarity, like we talked about earlier, control of seizures. It's used for fighting some types of cancer and has been really effective at that, preventing heart disease. And we can talk about how this high-fat diet, although it sounds counterintuitive, can actually lower many of the internal issues that lead to heart disease. It doesn't sound like it's right, but we'll talk about that maybe on another nutrition podcast in between some of our other topics. But a decrease in inflammation can help with arthritis, eczema, psoriasis, irritable bowel syndrome, joint pain. Keto diet can improve energy levels, can help your sleep. It'll aid in assisting digestive health, improving heartburn, preventing gallstones, gas, bloating, battling a whole heap of neurological issues and metabolic disease, can help stabilize hormones, and really can help you kind of curb diabetes, help reverse some of the issues with obesity and obesity itself, having a significant amount of weight and fixing some of those metabolic syndromes, right? So the list goes on of the things that are seen as being beneficial from the ketogenic diet. So clearly there's a lot of reasons that I like it and reasons for someone to do keto. So then we kind of like look at, all right, so there's good reason to do it. You know, Chris likes it. Not that that really means anything to you necessarily, but how do you do it? You know, and then we'll get back to kind of readdressing whether or not I like it, right? So keto requires what I would call a complete shift in the way that the body uses fuel sources. in order for our body to really stop using carbohydrate sources for fuel and kind of switch over, those carb sources actually need to be removed from the diet completely or almost completely. Our bodies they're actually really well designed to use fat for fuel, and it's a much more prolonged and efficient fuel source for us too, right? The problem is that the typical Western diet is ridiculously filled with carbs at every turn and almost ingraining carb utilization into us in a pretty profound way. It's really crazy to see how the body responds and adapts. So as a result, and as a whole, that it's like this is a very hard place to dig yourself out of. To make this switch, to get away from carbs, to get over to fat, you're going to have to go through a phase which is called keto adaptation. So once you have 100% adherence to the keto nutritional approach, right, which we'll talk about, it can take anywhere from 2 weeks to a month and, you know, give or take for depending on the person, to get fully adapted to using fat as your primary preferred source of fuel once again, right? So depending on how ingrained you are into that carbohydrate-riddled lifestyle really will determine how challenging this process is for you to get through. So a self-assessment to kind of think through is like, okay, if cereals, cookies, pasta, breads, chips, crackers, tortillas, muffins, coffee creamers, milk, rice, corn, oats, tons of fruit, soft drinks, energy drinks, etc. have been common staples of your daily intake of food, this is going to be a lot tougher transition than someone who's been eating a more whole food approach or paleo prior to starting down this path, because those latter ones I mentioned, like whole food approach or paleo, typically have a lot lower carbohydrate intake in general just because of the food choices. So essentially, keto is a high fat, low to moderate protein intake and a very low if no carb intake at all, right? Once you adapt, it's incredible how you feel. Like, we're talking tons of energy, crazy mental clarity. You sleep amazingly, but it takes a lot to get there, right? So do I like it? Yes. I personally love it, and I cycle it into my life a few times per year for kind of extended periods. I do suggest it for a lot of people. I don't suggest it for everyone, mainly because it requires total commitment. And quite frankly, if I'm just being really honest, many people struggle to go all in and to not waver. It not just in keto, in anything in life, people lack significant self-control. It is a fruit of the spirit, so we can gain that prayerfully, and we can change our lifestyle for the better through a prayerful approach and including the Lord's guidance and instruction and prompting and the fruit of the spirit, which is, you know, self-control, one of the nine fruits of the spirit. So that's essential. You can have that, but I don't recommend it for everybody because most people are not willing to make those changes and to really go all in. If you are in keto and you eat like one piece of pizza, you're likely going to pull yourself out of ketosis for hours or a day or multiple days. If you're not keto adapted, it might even be longer, essentially ruining the work or temporarily ruining the work that you put in leading up to that piece of pizza or those chips or bread or whatever it is that you consume, right? So it's so easy to derail the keto diet. You have to be all in. So I would say if you have health problems, systemic inflammation issues, digestive issues, or you have the self-control to stick to it, I highly recommend keto as my number one choice for dietary structure if I were to make a sweeping suggestion, right? Which I'm not, right? So hear me out. If I had to, that would be the one. For everyone else, I would suggest like a modified paleo, Whole 30, Whole Foods type of intake with a 15% variance for life happening, right? So that means, you know, 85% of your day or 85% of your week, excuse me. We look at it typically on a weekly basis. 85% of your week is amazing. 15% of it is, it could be better. Right, so this gives you room for like sporting events or meals with friends or birthdays, things that come up, right? But remember, 15% of the week, that's only 2 to 3 meals per week that you include things that are not in adherence to your nutritional guidelines, like the things that you want to be doing to get healthier and to steward your health and your body better, right? That doesn't mean binging. That doesn't mean one full day or one meal where I just eat whatever is in sight, because that's gluttony, and that's a whole nother topic, right? Idolatry in its nutshell, right? It just means that we're just not 100% perfect. Moderation, long-term consistency, and longevity are really the ultimate goals here. So we'll talk more about other nutrition approaches in later shows, but ultimately that's kind of keto in a nutshell. I hope it was helpful. I hope it's simple enough to answer a lot of the questions that are out there about keto. It's not a deep dive. This is not ultra scientific. So if you're familiar with keto, I apologize that it wasn't deeper. The goal with this was getting a lot of basic questions about the keto diet, and I wanted to address them directly just so that people kind of have a starting point and a baseline. So appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next Wednesday right here on the Rally Point Podcast. We'll be right back.